Sometimes we get living life. We get living in a way where we think it's right. We're following our instincts. But somewhere along the line, our instincts got a little wrong. We're not sure exactly the reason. We're following what's in our hearts. Things just come out of our mouths. We just react. But before a truly loving, holy, pure God, our loveless actions get exposed. Our sin, our pride, our lovelessness, our selfishness gets exposed. Like a corrupt Wall Street executive exposed for fraud. Like a deer out in the open that gets a sense of the hunter nearby. Like a wood bug that's rock gets lifted when our impure souls seek to run for cover before a holy, all-knowing God, we mimic these same situations. Sometimes we hide. Sometimes we duck and cover. And other times we're totally blind to the unseen virus of sin that we carry. In our new four-week sermon series in the book of Malachi, the prophet Malachi looks at the church. He looks at society and he says, "Wake up! The way that you've been living isn't right. And there's nothing like a holy, pure, loving God to expose our loveless actions." This morning, we're looking at God's love, what true love looks like. This morning, we're looking at our potential to live loveless religious lives, loveless rituals. And over the course of the series, we're going to be looking at how the book of Malachi exposes loveless worship, loveless marriage, loveless relationships, loveless offerings. Before a truly loving God, our lives are exposed. We can feel vulnerable. What does his love mean for us? What does true love bring out in others? We've been in 9 weeks in the book of Matthew, the very first book in the New Testament. And here's Malachi, one book back, but some 400 plus years back in the Bible. It's one book back, but it's a message that continues our Following Jesus series as far as taking it to more the next levels, let's say, where light is exposed and in a test of, is there any darkness in our hearts and in our lives? So my prayer is that as we come before God, as we open our lives, as we are willing to be exposed to his divine love, that our lives will become more full of love, that our rituals of Sunday morning services, meeting at the temple, that our homes, our communities will be exposed more to the love of God as God has brought more love into our own hearts. So I invite you to pray and to make this our prayer. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. We wonder at your love. We also admit there's ways where it scares us, where our love, when exposed, doesn't fully, truly measure up, whether it's up close and personal to those who really, truly know us, or even to the general public. We recognize we have blind spots. We recognize we are not all-knowing. We are not all-seeing as you are, God. We recognize the vulnerability of that situation. But we're here also in a church gathering, a gathering that recognizes Jesus as Lord and Savior. And wherever we're coming from, there is this peace of our prayer being, Lord, open our eyes to what is truly good. at the heart of things what is truly loving, that our lives would more embody you, that our lives would become more full of love. When it comes to every Sunday in our quote-unquote temple worship, when it comes to our key relationships, our friendships, our family, our marriages, Lord, there's no room for lovelessness in our lives. In a life of following Jesus, we want our lives to look more and more like the good, loving Savior that you are, Jesus. So teach us about these things. Teach us in a way where our lives embody you, where eternity is brought here in new ways, and our lives, that which is good, will last through eternity in more and more ways. Remove our lovelessness, we pray. Give us a fresh sense of your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I was asking in the foyer, have you heard a sermon on Malachi before? Malachi, huh? Is that the Italian prophet? Malachi? I've seen that in the back, but I haven't really read that one. Or, no, can't, I don't know if I've heard a sermon on Malachi before. Well, it means for most of us, we've got some things to learn. And I'm excited for us to be digging into every aspect of God's Word. God has given us every book in the Bible for us to learn. You'll see in your bulletins, you got this overview from the Bible Project. I will just, in a minute or two, give an overview of the book of Malachi. You can see here, it's 100 years after return from exile. So we're actually living a metaphor of what happened to ancient Israel. They were a big group, and then they got sent off. They had rejected the covenant. They had lived in a way as if God didn't exist. And as God's people, they lived into the curses of not being faithful to the covenant. And I'm not saying there's a curse on the town. But what I'm saying is they came back. There was this remnant, just like with the coronavirus around, there's this sense of a remnant of the church here representing our greater body. And here they were, and there was the whole rebuilding of Jerusalem. And now it's 100 years after exile. It's around 430 BC. And we open it up in the book of Malachi, this prophet Malachi, but the prophet Malachi, his name actually means messenger. And there's not really any details about Malachi. So there is this piece of going, well, is the name of the prophet actually metaphorical in the sense that it's like this is a prophet's message? Or was his name actually Malachi? Well, there's not really this sense of importance on that. It's more that Malachi means messenger, and he's a prophet of God, and he has a message for us, whether it's his individual name or it's a representative name. Who's the audience? We talked about that. The Israelites who have returned from exile. What's the purpose? Well, there's been this huge life lesson of a life living apart from God, not following his commands is not a life of blessing. And they experience the curse of breaking the covenant as the people of God. And then they come back and they're to have learned the lesson, but it's more of the same thing. Spiritual apathy is the reason that God sends a prophet. And here's the big idea I want to talk about this morning, coming out of the whole book and coming out of this individual chapter, is that God reveals his love and exposes loveless religion. God reveals his love and exposes loveless religion. First of all, God exposes our loveless hearts. And second of all, he exposes our loveless religion, our actions, our habits, our rituals. Malachi 1:1. This is the message that the Lord gave to Israel through the prophet Malachi. I have always loved you, says the Lord. But you retort, really? How have you loved us? And then God, let maybe just talk about lovelessness. It's having no feeling of love, having no commitment to love. To be loveless is to have no feelings or commitments of love. And God is saying this is true of their hearts and their religion. There's a dismissal of God's loving care here in this. How have we loved you? God says, I've chosen you. I've been deliberate in showing you love all through your history. And there's this contrast of Esau and the Edomites who end up becoming their ancient enemies. And how that does not work out well for the nation of Edom. And he's saying, I've had favor on you. But just like being someone's chosen boyfriend or chosen girlfriend or wife or husband, they dismiss it. They dismiss it. God's love is unimportant. They dismiss all that he's done for them. They dismiss his heart. We then see situations where it's like Joe and Susie showing up quite regularly to church on Sunday. They're greeted by Dave, the priest, and they're just kind of going through the motions. They don't really sing. They don't really bring much of an offering. They don't really look at God. They don't really look and see people as people made in the image of God. They hang out with their tight-knit group, and they bring something, and they're there fairly regularly. But when it comes to expressing their love of God, it's not there. When it comes to the priests, they're going, well, just, it doesn't really matter. And what do you really want to talk about? Let's not talk about what God has to say. Let's just talk about what will tickle the people's ears. Let's just talk about what will make the people happy. This was the state of the church in 5th century BC. We see it. We read this passage, and they're like, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? And he says, you've shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my honor or on my altar. Then they ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. So it was a time of animal sacrifices to bring a cleansing of their lives before God. And here's, they were to bring the top animals, right? They were to bring the best of what they got to reflect this relationship of top priority with their God. And instead, what do they bring? Verse 8, you give blind animals as sacrifices. Isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. Go ahead, beg God to be merciful to you. But when you bring that kind of offering, why should he show you any favor at all? We have this list of loveless religion, this questioning God's love in verse 2. How have you loved us? And this comment of you've shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices, giving blind animals, crippled and diseased, verse 8. Verse 12, you dishonor my name with your actions by bringing contemptible food. Verse 13, it's too hard, you say, to serve the Lord, and you turn your noses at my commands. Verse 14, you cheat me with your promises to give a fine ram, but then you sacrifice a defective one. You've heard of re-gifting. I don't know if you watched Seinfeld back in the day. You're a re-gifter. A re-gifter is the person who gets a gift from someone and then they don't really like it and they re-gift it. And you're like, what? How dare you? And then even lower than that is when you have something, you've used something and now it's crummy and you don't really like it and then give it to someone. There was a time in the day where, I don't know if you ever experienced this, but sometimes people would treat their junk and they drop it off at the church and they go, oh, maybe you could use this. There's some knowing smiles out there. But essentially that's what's happening in 5th century BC. They're taking their junk. They're crippled animals. They're diseased. Let's drop off the diseased ones. What does that reflect about their relationship with God? What's it reflect if a parent rewards bad behavior? will that ultimately be good for the child? Like, well, I don't want them to be upset with me. But a parent sacrifices the child's displeasure with them in order to do what's best for the child, right? It's like pet owners where the dog is totally barking or it bit, and then you're petting it saying, oh, it's okay, it's okay. No, it's not okay. That's not going to change the behavior, right? So too with God accepting loveless sacrifices, offerings that we bring to him that dishonor his name. It should make him mad. It should make us mad. The thing is, we're not always aware of how we do it. There's this challenge in reading about 5th century BC offerings that go, well, it's always easy, actually, to read any part of the Bible and go, come on, people, get it together. And yet, when we show up Sunday mornings and we're thinking about our hearts and we just kind of go through the song, and we're not really singing. We're not really there to worship. And, oh, well, what about when we start looking over it? Oh, I can't believe that person wore that. Or, oh, do you see that person? I don't experience that in this church. And this church has been such a blessing, but it's always a danger. We got the slide of the throwing stones from glass houses, right? You know that expression? It means that we're vulnerable to criticism. It means we shouldn't be throwing stones at others. If we're judging people, Jesus says, you're going to be judged in the same way. Those who've experienced divine grace, the utter love of God, can be so unloving, uncharitable, ungenerous to those around us. That is a loveless heart. Yes, we have different values. Yes, some of us have been taught to wear different things at different times in different generations, and we sing different songs. But ultimately, God gathers us as multiple generations, and we are to embody God's love for one another. So it's never fitting. It is never fitting for us to stand in judgment of someone around us. Not church leadership, not anyone in the church, not anyone in society. In fact, as there's this piece about the communion table in verse 12. You dishonor my name with your actions by bringing contemptible food. You are saying it's all right to defile the Lord's table. Well, in the first century church, as they talk about communion instruction and how they're bringing curses on themselves because they're not considering those around them. They're not right with others. So therefore, we teach, coming out of the principles of the scriptures, Matthew 5, 26 to 25 to 26. If you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. When it comes to communion, we say, let the plate pass. Let the cup pass. It's more important that you let it pass. Take note that you have a relationship that's not right in your life. And you go get it right before you pretend as if all things are right before God. He cares more that you're living in right relationship with each other. And then you'll be right with him. For those of you who have siblings, and I don't know about your parents, but one of my parents' greatest desires is that I'll be right with my sibling, right? My dad always asks me, have you talked to your brother lately? He, as a loving father, is concerned that I treat my brother right. My brother's in right relationship. That's a microcosm of God's grand heart that we treat each other right. And when we bring offerings to God and act as if I can judge this person, be bitter at this person, be unforgiving, and totally not bring forward the grace of God in a broken relationship. God's saying, that's not right. That is like bringing a sick lamb to my altar. Don't you do it. And we recognize that in communion, that's been a practice. I don't know if you've heard that before. I think lots of us have. But so too, every Sunday morning, we're coming to the altar, right? We're coming to the temple, quote unquote. Yes, we know in the New Testament, Jesus said, we are now the temples. The church is actually the people. We inhabit God's Spirit, ultimately. There's also a sense of we also are to take care of this building. And I love what we're doing, how we're proactively creating this care fund to take care of what God's been given us and to glorify Him. And actually, it's great timing, church, because if we weren't doing anything and we preached this book of Malachi, we wouldn't look good. So it's interesting that God's brought this one forward. I'm so excited for how we're giving to that. And like we said before, you can give on the Tithely app. There's a special way to give to that, where we've designated to give to the building. But I know anytime I talk about money, I'm always in danger of now being judged. I go, there you go, you're talking about money. And yet the scriptures are saying you got to take care of the church building. You got to take care of the people. It's about our heart dispositions reflected in our actions that are sick, crippled offerings. When we come with those in our home and we're ticked at them and we're judgmental and there's something in our relationship, maybe we've been married for a long time and we're not willing to look at how we talk to that person, there's a lovelessness that's just come to be expected in your home, that's not the right heart either. And in fact, God's going to be speaking into that in a much greater clarity next week in talking into loveless marriages, how that is not His heart. So we look at this and God, we see that God gets mad at sick, crippled offerings. We see it afresh that every Sunday, our hearts are to come before Him humble, not proud, open, not closed, soft, not hard. The point of the covenant, chapter 2, verse 5 of Malachi. The purpose of my covenant was to bring life and peace. And he singles out the Levites as those who were to lead the religious services. The purpose of my covenant with the grander people of God was to bring life, shalom, peace. That's what we all long for, to have full, rich, thriving, peaceful lives. There's to be a reverence for God that comes out of our life. This is the purpose of the covenant. And in fact, God's using His covenant name. The Lord gave to Israel. This is the message the Lord gave to Israel through the prophet Malachi. So God's using His covenant name with His people. It's not just God out there, but the Lord, as in we have a very specific relationship. So God reveals His love. He exposes loveless religion. So what do we do with it? Well, we've talked about some things. We recognize our blind offerings and spiritual blindness to be loveless hearts and loveless religion. Just bring up this diagram here. Have you seen this one? The Johari window. Well, it was Joe and Harry got together and they put this diagram, and it's called the Johari window. And there's this piece about an aspect of our life which is known to self and known to others, and that's the open part of our lives. Now, there's a part of ourself that is known to ourself but not known to others, and that's hidden. Now, there's a component that's known to others that's not known to self, and that's called our blind spot. And there's this component that's not known to others and not known to self, and that's unknown, that section. And if we have part of the church listening online, I invite you to Google Johari window. Now, look at this next diagram. There's this, if we can click on this next one, there's this piece of where we grow the open aspect of our lives so that our blind spots get smaller, so that our lives get revealed to others more, and the unknown aspect of our lives becomes smaller. And this happens through self-disclosure, self-discovery, shared discovery, and feedback. So it's when brought before God, God sees it all, right? He knows it all. And there's this component where he's speaking right now through the prophet Malachi into blind spots. And it becomes a gift. This very week, I'm handing out a card as someone involved in Freedom Session, and I'm asking those closest to me in my life, hey, I love you, you love me, we do a lot of life together. Hey, do you mind just filling out my top three defects? And here's the list. Here's the list of all the worst stuff. Could you just circle what the worst stuff in my life is? And then I'll take that and all the feedback from others and see what the worst parts. I did this last year as part of Freedom Session, and it was such a gift because there's part of my life that got revealed so clearly that I was absolutely blind to. I was absolutely blind to it, but the people around me could see it. I actually think that this component wasn't necessarily broadly seen, but those, when you get up close to me in my life, they could see it. And there was a theme, and it was like, ding, ding, ding. And it was ultimately such a gift to me. It was such a gift to me because I went, oh, that part of my life was unseen. It was a virus at work, and it was infecting those I came up close to, and people could feel it. And I don't want that. I don't want that for those around me. And I want to love the Lord my God with my whole heart. So I'm actually looking forward to going through this process again because God worked so powerfully. And the key was to have a humble heart about it, right? And this is also the gift of the church. It's what God speaks into, and God speaks through his church. He speaks through his word. He speaks through his spirit. So for yourselves, when it comes to recognizing the unseen coronavirus, there's some of us who are getting really frustrated because we're like, there are people dying of so on such a grander capacity when it comes to even the flu, let alone world hunger. Like, let's put things in priority. And that is rightly so. So too with sin. Let's take the unseen virus of sin seriously. And this is the point. This is the point of going through the book of Malachi. Because the point is there's high stakes in this game. The high stakes are that we can live without God's blessing in our lives because we're bringing loveless offerings. Here's the high stakes is we can miss out on a close, active, daily relationship, living how we were intended to be. Here's the stake is that if we reject God's divine messenger and his commandments, we can eternally be separated from him. Or we can have the incredible blessing of living in glory with him. They're high stakes. And that, thus the message from the prophet Malachi. Wake up! This is the call. But as you hear that wake-up call, get a fresh sense of the love of God. He's chosen you. He's made you. And in fact, he has become the sacrificial lamb to pay and atone for each of your loveless acts. We have a couple scriptures here. Or John said, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I think we have it on PowerPoint. Let's go to the next slides. And after John 1:29 is, Revelation 5, 9 to 10. Look, there's this image into eternity that we're given to see in a way where we can't see. And we see that you were slaughtered and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you've caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. Next slide. These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7, 14. That God's blood, when Jesus laid down his life for us and was sacrificed on the cross for all that was not right in our lives, he dealt with the unseen virus of sin in our hearts and in our lives. And in fact, he gives us a whole new robe, and it's white, pure, made from the blood of the Lamb. That when God sees you, once you've accepted Jesus as your sacrifice, then he sees his Son in your place. He sees his pure life. You're sanctified. You're positionally right with God. And then there's this call to then progressively be sanctified as far as make all of your life right. And that's the call as followers of Jesus as we tie these series in together, is that a loving God has gone to these great lengths and he calls you to a life of love. And there's nothing more beautiful than bringing offerings of love towards our God and towards those around us. Pray that God be stirring in us this heart, that every aspect of our lives be exposed that isn't loveless, that we will more fully embody and experience the daily blessing of the love of God now through eternity. Let's pray. God, thank you for sending your prophet Malachi. Thank you for recording the message to wake up. Lord, you know how easy it is to become spiritually apathetic in our lives, where we have this sense of apathy towards how we treat those in the gathered church, towards how we treat your offerings in every aspect, to how we treat those in our homes, those we're married to, those we've covenanted to. So we just bring all that we are that needs to be convicted for what isn't right in our lives. And Lord, expose it, because we know that as you expose it in your love, you're going to make it right. And that love is going to permeate where there was bitterness. That love is going to permeate where there's been judgment in our hearts. Oh, may it be so. And we thank you, Lord, that we know it to be so, that it's not just us doing this as we bring our hearts before you, but that as we've given our lives to you, you just bring this. This is part of being connected to you. So we celebrate how our offerings are going to be richer before you. We celebrate how our lives are going to be richer in loving. So we take what you've said, and in anticipation of faith in you, Jesus, we look forward to what you're going to be doing in our lives over these 4 weeks and onward. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand together.